You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Wednesday, it's the 1st of December, it's the Christmas month, and here we are with the latest episode of the Brighton Rock I couldn't finish and I'm getting booed. Oh, where have we heard that one before? Right, here we go then. It's the latest episode, it's a match day special. I'm in the classic pre-match brewery location we love here. It's the Howling Hops in Hackney Wick, and I'm with my good friends Duncan, Andy, who we'll hear from later, Dominic, who's not been on before and will be making his debut, possibly from another friend of mine, Jamie, and also first and foremost from my good friend Alison. How you doing, Alison?
I'm good. We made quite an early start, and we're in this Howling Hops Brewery, which is we've discovered is a very good pre-match venue for trips to West Ham. So,
and we're absolutely howling, aren't we?
Well, some probably going that way after an early start.
I think we got here a little bit earlier than you. You got lost, apparently. What happened there?
I always struggle with Hackney Wick.
It's near the station.
I know. But it depends which way you walk when you leave the station.
Keen-eared listeners will recall that Alison and I, post-match at one of these games, was drunkenly talking in the courtyard area between the bar and the station.
That was after the 3-3 game.
It was.
That was.
And
yes.
We needed wind protection on that microphone, didn't we?
Yes.
It was very blowy.
That was quite an occasion, an exciting game. So
yeah.
let's hope for similar level of excitement this evening. And
let's hope so. We're back in the Howling Hops. We feel on home ground. We love it here. It's great. It's good to have good friends around, good beers around. And one of those is Andy. That's one of the friends, not the beers, obviously. He's drinking beer. I don't know how. If he drinks enough, he might. Andy Sauer. Yeah, if he drinks enough, he might turn into a beer. But we'll see about that. Andy, let me get your take on the. We spoke just the other day, obviously, on the podcast. Any further thoughts about the Albion this season and your prospects for this evening?
No, I don't want to speak about that. Instead, I want to speak about what happened when you did a match day special last time we came to West Ham.
Oh, yeah.
And I can remember that we were 2-0 down at half time. And I said we had no chance. But in fact, we came back and we drew 3-3. Keeping with the negativity, I think we've got no chance for that.
Well, we've given away a 2-goal lead as well, haven't we, here?
We did. We were here for that day as well. Duffy and Stevens in our second season. Both goals in corners, both goals down the other end. So, what do I think about tonight? Well, on the last episode of Brighton Rock, Peter was suggesting that Lamptey might not play because we have to accept he's only just come back from a long-term injury, and we've got 3 games in 8 days.
And a really intense period in general over the next month.
So that might not play. The teams will be announced soon. I'm pretty sure Duffy will play. We had a look on who scored and their probable lineup for us today. I thought it was quite good. It was a back three of Duffy, Dunk and Webster. Cucurella and Lamptey as wing backs. Obviously we're saying that Lamptey might not play, so Veltman may well come in there. They had Bissouma and Mwepu as a midfield duo, which I really like the prospect of.
Yeah, I do too.
And then they had Moda, Lallana, and then Trossard up front. I quite like that. I like Moda's dynamism an awful lot. He just needs to start scoring goals for us. They'll come.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like the sound of that lineup. If indeed that is how it turns out, obviously as you listen back to this, all will have already been revealed. But one thing we didn't touch on in the Leeds game, which had been mentioned variously across a number of channels, and I'd spoken about, was the kit clash. We didn't talk about that on the last podcast. The Leeds game, wasn't that wonderful? The pasty lilac kit set against the backdrop of blue and white. Do you see us wearing a crimson away kit today, maybe?
No.
It was shocking, though, was it? A really irritatingly unnecessary awkwardness to that kit. And it's happened before, isn't it?
Are you trying to find an excuse to hate Leeds?
I am, really, yeah. Just for Peter's benefit. He's not with us tonight, but he would appreciate the sentiment. One thing I'd also like to mention was we talked about the booing and Graham Potter. And in classic style, the media have churned this up. Obviously, they feed off the scraps and then they build it up into something. Potter made his statement afterwards. I completely agree with it. In general sentiments, it was a very, very small minority of people that booed. I've since seen the highlights and you could see Potter mouthing the words, "They're booing," with an incredulous look on his face. And it was ridiculous. I have no issue with anything that Potter said.
It was harshly ridiculous and ridiculously hard.
Are you listening, Peter? Anyway, but yeah, I mean, the media have just tapped into this exactly as we knew they were going to. They were interviewing David Moyes, knowing that he was the next managerial opponent, saying, "Oh, you probably heard about the booing. What did you think of it?" And Moyes made a perfectly earnest answer, saying people should appreciate him and not be ungrateful if anyone's booing, which I agree with it. But the whole proportion is completely and utterly distorted here, isn't it? This is the issue with what I agree with, was that was a good sentiment from Graham. But the problem with saying anything is it gets blown out of all proportion because the media love to churn up shit from nothing, don't they?
Yes.
Never a more succinct word put. If you can hear some laughing in the background, it is from the dulcet tones of our debutante, friend, a fairly recent friend. We've only become acquainted recent
true.
Times.
Yeah.
You are a member of Seagulls Over London.
I am.
You are a frequenter of similarly, shall we say, accomplished ale houses.
Well, that's about watering holes.
Watering
yeah.
holes, you
that's
could say.
The one. Yeah.
Yeah. You are Mr. Dominic Wales, aren't
that
you?
That is very true, yeah. Yeah. So,
make it a debut. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so Brighton-born, grew up in Shoreham, went to school in Worthing, so Sussex-born and bred. You know, my dad's a Brighton fan, etc. So I've only been a Brighton fan. I only recently became a season ticket holder because before then it was a case of not either being able to afford it or working away. So I've worked away in most around the country. But now, since moving to London in 2017, 2018, I've got the season ticket, home and away. But I've always followed Brighton. I've just only recently been a ticket holder, yeah.
North Stand. Make
yeah.
a bit of noise.
I do try to, yeah.
Good.
With my mates in the North Stand, they normally they normally rip me in a good way, because I'm normally trying to keep the songs going, or at least start some new ones.
Well, that's a good thing though, isn't it? I mean, there's been a bit of criticism about, it's a bit of a chicken and egg argument, but there's been a bit of a criticism about noise at home games versus away games, noise at home games in general.
Yeah.
And I do think performance informs good crowd noise.
True.
Good crowd noise sustained for as long as necessary inform good performance. I suppose that's the argument. It's a tricky one to navigate as a theory, but particularly to instigate as a policy. If you wanted to keep singing to motivate the team, it could be a thankless task.
Well, indeed, and I think the North Stand, maybe I'm biased here, but the North Stand are good. However, I do feel the North Stand in general could be better. Sometimes we sing out of tune, two different chants going on at the same time. Yeah. And I must admit, and this is not to say that other parts of the home, fans within the ground don't sing, but in the North Stand, even though the acoustics are supposed to be, you know, very good, it's hard to hear in the North Stand other parts of the ground singing. Apart from very obvious games in the not recent past, and in the past, especially like the playoff games against Sheffield Wednesday, where everyone was getting behind the team like really loudly. But it seems to be that in the North Stand, you can only really hear the away fans. And so that creates quite a good sort of, you know, back and forth. But I feel the away fans perhaps need to be moved. Maybe underneath the West Lower or East Lower or part of it. One of those, and then have them surrounded by more vocal home fans. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this off air before, and I completely agree with you. I think I don't like the whole dominating aesthetic of seeing so many fans in one area behind the goal that aren't our own at a home
match. Indeed.
But I agree with you about the dynamics of the game. I'm a West Stand Upper regular, but I've been in the North Stand for a number of games. Back when you could swap about and maybe jump in with your mates for a while. Contentious issue we might get onto later. But anyway, I've been in the North, and I thought, I know the West Upper is decent at the north end of the ground. You can't really hear it that much. And assuming it wasn't uncharacteristically quiet on that particular occasion, I'm assuming that it sounded quieter than it should have done, knowing that it's louder than it sounded.
Yeah.
And I think the North Stand is probably the same from the perspective of the West Upper.
Yes.
From our position in the north end of the West Upper, you can hear the North Stand, obviously, but you can hear the away fans and not much else.
Yes.
Other people tell me the South make a lot of noise.
Well, Southwest corner. Yeah, and that's always known. You know, they have their banners, they have their flags, you know they're loud. And I have sat in there one time, actually. I sat with a mate in the Southwest corner, and I was impressed.
Yeah.
But being in the North now, it's hard to hear that side. You just hear that huge bank of away fans.
Yeah, you can't hear the Southwest corner from where we are at the north end of the West Upper. But I think the issue is, and it's designed with acoustics in mind, people keep telling me, if you're on the pitch or if you're in the press box, the sound is brilliant from wherever. But I think if you're in a particular stand, you have a different perspective of how good the atmosphere may or may not be.
Well, indeed.
If you're watching on TV, we said this off air as well, didn't we? We've got a lot of songs that involve a lot of swearing.
Swearing words,
stuff, disproportionate amount.
Yeah.
And that doesn't do us any favours, because what happens is they crank the sound down on the mics, understandably, because they don't want swearing on TV.
Yeah.
So our sound sounds shit on TV. If you're in any of the particular stands at the ground, it doesn't sound as good.
Yeah.
The players and people on the pitch keep saying the sound is good, the atmosphere is good. It could definitely be better. It could always be better. I agree with you. Moving the away fans, for me, is fundamentally important, because it will reinvigorate the dynamic between different areas of home area, of home singing, and also between the home and the away fans.
It is odd to allow the away fans to have a whole stand.
Yeah.
So,
it doesn't look great, does it? Andy, you want to jump in on this, don't you?
I do. I want to congratulate the North Stand, because I sit in the West Stand Upper, and I don't stand, and there is no atmosphere there beyond occasional grumbles. The North Stand are normally brilliant. We can hear you really well. But
I can't take all the credit myself. I'm just joking.
That's quite all right, Dominic. but, and there is a big but, you've been dreadful for the last two games.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
Loads of people left early, didn't they, as well?
Well,
from the North Stand Collective area.
Well, indeed, yeah. And I know there are reasons behind that, and I'm not going to try and generalise, because there are many different reasons why certain people may need to leave early or want to leave early, etc. Yeah. But it is, I think, I may be picked out for saying this, but there does seem to be a tendency for, if the game is not going perhaps the way that someone wants, they think, oh, well, if I leave early, I can get that train back to Brighton or Lewes quicker, so I don't have to queue up. And that's a shame. Yeah. Is that because of the way the stadium is designed and public transport? Most probably. Yeah. I'm not blaming any fans. I'm just saying it has the unintended consequence of fewer people in the ground, especially in the last 10 minutes where we may need an equaliser or a winner. And,
obviously this is all just hypothetical now, but if we had developed the plot just behind the station back in the day, and we're right in the centre of Brighton, this wouldn't be happening, would it?
I don't know.
Smaller numbers, I think so.
I mean,
if you've got someone that's got to get back to the Midlands, because that's where they live and their season's off, then fair enough.
Well, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and I understand that, okay, I don't have to travel as far as the Midlands, but I live in London, so I go back to London. So,
yeah.
But, and I, as I said, there are many different reasons why someone may need to leave early, but I feel that there seems to be a larger number that leave early, as in like a larger number of home fans of Brighton that leave early, than I've seen in other grounds where we've played away.
Yeah.
So
apart
from, you know, Manchester United, where all the fans have to go back to Surrey, but you know, that's fine. So
haven't you? Go on, put that boot in.
Well, but yeah, you know.
Well, just switching it back to your Albion affiliation. So tell us your Albion. I mean, you told us how you got into the football. Early memories, favourite moments, favourite players. Have you got any reflections on that through the years?
Yeah, I think the most obvious one is obviously more recently Bruno. I love Bruno, and I'm really glad he stayed on.
Bruno!
Once a seagull, always a seagull.
Absolutely.
And that most definitely. Bruno, I think, is currently and perhaps always will be one of my favourite players for the Albion. And I just loved his work ethic. He always gave his all. He's a really down-to-earth bloke. And I really admire him on all of those points. And also, he always gave his best. And now he's stayed on in his role of sort of coaching and development. Brilliant. Love it. I think my earliest, biggest memory was when I...
Bruno is probably about the best player that we've had. And that's saying something when we've got Trossard and Bissouma in our squad at the moment.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe that's the case that Bruno perhaps stands out more based on, and this is no disrespect to anyone that he was playing with, but maybe that stands out more now then compared to now, because we have a lot more sort of gifted, for want of a better word, or skilled players. I don't know.
I'd agree with that. I've only got two words to say in response to that. First touch.
Yes. Yeah.
Sublime.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And he's a great guy. He seems a great guy.
Oh, indeed. Honestly, if I ever got the chance to meet him, I'd just shake his hand and tell him that I love him, and then I'd probably get a restraining order, but it'd be worth it.
You might have to just elbow him. I'm not in the face. Elbow to elbow, or fist bump him.
Yeah, exactly. Due to Omicron times.
But, so your first game. Do you remember your first game?
I do, but I think my most standout memory was when I was a kid, and I didn't get a chance to go to the game at Hereford away, but there's the crucial survival game. I remember listening to that on the radio with my dad in the car, and it was just one of those memories that will always stick with me, because we were sitting in the car, I can't remember where, all I can remember is being in the car listening to the radio and listening to that crucial draw at Hereford, and that is the one memory. I think maybe, you know, being with my dad, and so forth, you know, it was a great, you know, father-son bonding moment, and listening to that important result, that I think is from my younger days a really important sort of memory for me.
And any further reflections on the Albion through the years, or should we get on to talking about this season?
Well, I think maybe I can there could be a nice segue into that discussion here, because I was going to say that I think as a club we've developed very well, and I think Brighton fans on the whole should be very proud of Brighton for everything they do on the pitch and off the pitch. Now, I know the on the pitch part is certainly something that's come up recently because of the quote unquote booing. I think that sets up nicely talking about this current season, does it not?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And at this point, you've mentioned segues. Friend of the show, Andy, a.k.a. Wedgie, who's not been in good health recently, just a shout out to him. Get well soon, Wedgie. He's got a certain story that he would tell anybody about segues. He'll know what I'm talking about here. He'll be smiling. I'll tell you off air in a minute.
It's fine.
It involved a load of slapstick violent comedy on an England away day in Poland.
Amazing.
Anyway, that's for another day. So, yeah, talk about the season then. Your views on that, Dominic. In general, and looking forwards as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we had a tremendous start, and that's certainly been very enjoyable. Again, I tend to find that our away performances are better than at home.
Yeah, and the record is, definitely.
Well, yeah, exactly. The record and the stats are there to back up that. But in terms of just that personal feeling of, you know, attending away games and then home games, I do enjoy home games. But I must admit, recently I've kind of felt a bit sort of apprehensive about what the home atmosphere may be like, because I know that if things don't seem to go the right way, then a lot of sort of, you know, grumbling sets in, and I have no problem with that. You know, I have certainly moaned where a shot's gone wide, or, you know, we've, you know, hit the post again or whatever. But it seems to set in very quite quickly in home games recently, and I'm not entirely sure why. I'm not apportioning blame. I'm just describing what I hear and how I see it. I think certainly it could be good if there was, you know, certainly a bit more atmosphere, a bit more singing. But how do you get that going? I don't know. I mean, as I said, some of my friends may, you know, who sit near me may dig me for, you know, continuing on a song whilst everyone else has stopped singing about 5 minutes ago. But, you know, beyond that, I hope we can find some solution. Because coming back to what you said about where it's mentioned that the acoustics on the pitch are very good, surely then if the acoustics on the pitch are very good, the players can then hear very clearly when the crowd has gone quiet, or groaning / moaning. So I fear that is also part of it as well. And I think also it's been highlighted recently, though, because we've been at home against Newcastle and Leeds, and whatever you think about those two teams, one normally has to say that their away following is always certainly vocal. So I feel that those guys always, well, guys, perhaps, you know, everyone who follows them is always certainly vocal. So I feel that, you know, that when we're contrasted against that, it may seem a bit more quiet. But I certainly feel the home atmosphere needs to be improved, but I don't have the solution to hand.
No, I think moving the away end is probably one of those key elements.
Potentially,
But you're right, making an atmosphere is so difficult. If you've had a few drinks and you're full of brass and bravado, you could do it. Maybe it catches on with enough general kind of, you know, attitude. But it's really hard to engineer an atmosphere. It's almost not actually natural, is it? That's the problem. It's got to be organic.
Well, indeed.
And that's why it's so tied in with performance. Or refereeing decisions. Aside from that, to do it disproportionately to that, it's not easy at all.
No.
It's a difficult one to shout out, really. Anyway,
I don't think we need a drum.
No.
No Reading-esque drum or Palace-esque drum.
Got to put the boot in on Palace. No drums. We don't need drums.
I mean, maybe we can all just start chanting "Why'd You Let It Bounce" at home games, and that may generate the atmosphere. I don't know.
Anyway, it's a pleasure to have you on Make It or Don't It.
Thank you very much.
We might get your feedback later if we get a chance.
Yes.
Thank you for joining
us. Perhaps depends how many pints I've had, but you know.
Well, we've had a fair few, haven't we?
Well, we have. Yeah.
This place is bloody brilliant. No, please go on.
Would you like some beers?
Yes. Oh yes.
Yes, please.
Number 8, I think it is.
Yes, number 8.
Flip side.
Which one? Number 8.
Number 8.
Which one have we had?
You're on the podcast now.
You're ordering beer. You're on the pod. Flip side for everybody.
Yeah, go on.
Hold on to your glasses, everyone. It's plastic o'clock over here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're holding on to our glasses from earlier. Right. So we're going to pass it over now to our old friend Duncan, who's been on the podcast a couple of times. He's mainly featured on the match day specials, and it is on such an occasion that I'm going to get him involved again now. Here we are. It's over to Duncan. How are you doing, first of all, Duncan?
Well, it's very enjoyable to be back here at Howling Hops for West Ham away. We love it. It's amazing.
The food's good.
Food is excellent. Yeah. We've got some sort of South American asado, which is
powder. No, I mean box. Yeah.
Yeah, we all had the Colombian marching box, which is very good.
That sounds worse than the Colombian marching powder. Wow. Well, to be honest. Yeah.
Anyway.
And amazing 10 beers in the cast.
And we've had them all.
We have, apart from the ones that are off. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Really great atmosphere. It's like for those people that don't know, it's like a German beer keller with a brewery at the end. Very rough and ready, it looks like. Very friendly. Lots of West Ham fans. Lots of Brighton fans. Just having a good time. It's excellent.
Fantastic tap room.
And we've got, if ever you go to Albion away games and you're into Real Ales, you'll probably notice a cluster of fans. They've probably got a name for themselves as a posse. They were always in the same good pubs that we find.
Watering holes indeed.
And you've got Jamie, who I'm hoping to get on the podcast in a moment. And there's a whole bunch of those Real Ale guys, and they're great. They're part of the tradition of West Ham away. This place, in general, is a part of West Ham away. Yeah. We come every year, apart from when there's a lockdown. And we've had, well, our home and away games in the Premier League against West Ham, 3 wins in a row, 5 draws in a row. So that's 2 or 3 draws away from home in a row. What about today? I fancy us for a 1-1 draw. Over to you, Duncan. What do you think?
Well, we quite often score 3, don't we, here?
Yes, indeed.
I really don't know what to think of today. I don't know quite how Potter's going to go, whether he's going to blood Mope again and just hopefully he scores, or whether he's going to pull him out and we're going to have Trossard, false 9, or... You know, I really don't know.
It's hard to tell because there's an intensity of fixtures, which has also got to inform rotation and all that other stuff, isn't it?
Exactly. West Ham are playing really well. I think only Potter knows how his emotional intelligence, how Mope is, and whether or not he'll bring him straight back on or not. I don't know. So you can never guess what Potter's going to put on the pitch beforehand, so we should wait and see.
Exactly. I mean, Declan Rice is in phenomenal form, a great player. Cresswell's been brilliant this season.
Cresswell's got a fantasy league.
Well, he folded himself around the goalpost in the last match of the weekend, and we think he might be out as a result of a knock on in that regard. But they've got a lot of good players, a lot of people that can cause us danger, including Antonio, who's been brilliant. Do you see him as the main threat?
Yeah, I've got him as a striker in my fantasy league as well.
How many West Ham players are you on your fantasy league?
I've mentioned 2 and those are the 2.
You traitor.
But yeah, he's big and scores, so who knows?
Yeah.
Well,
I think they can score, we can score 1-1.
Living in London.
Maybe 2-1 to whoever. I really don't know. It's so hard. It's such a difficult game to call.
Absolutely. Andy, have you got a prediction for today? I'm going 1-1.
we're going to lose.
Hooray! Oh, well, there we go. Anyway, that's it for now. We might do a bit more preview. We're definitely going to do a half-time analysis, are we?
Fuck that.
And then we'll do a bit of a post-match thing on this matchday special. Right, the pre-match continues. I've now been joined by three Hammers fans, one of whom is an ex-journalist. And what's your name, sir?
Terry.
And your name?
John.
And we also have?
Troy.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the podcast, fellas. Pre-match West Ham Brighton. We've drawn the last five games with each other. Brighton have drawn six out of the last eight. What do you think is the result today?
Well, I don't really know. I only come for the beer, and the beer in here is so strong that I don't really understand what's going on during the game.
One of my mates said you've been here for quite a while, same as us. And yeah, the beer is very strong, isn't it?
It is.
So anyway, let's get your view then on the season so far. It's been brilliant for you guys, hasn't it? And how do you see it going as well?
Well, we're West Ham, aren't we? So we can't be totally optimistic. We could be like one of them cartoon characters running off a cliff with our legs going in the air and then suddenly going in for a drop. But we hope not.
I know the feeling. What about yourself?
I think we've had a brilliant season so far, Russell, but obviously we're coming off the back of two defeats, so
yeah,
we really need to win tonight with Chelsea on Saturday. We're a bit worried that Brighton are a bit of our bogey team, you know, because years ago you were beating us at home 3-0 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but we're very hopeful. You've had a good season so far, but I think we're going to do it tonight. We're going to come back to winning ways.
I suspect you're right, unfortunately. We've had three wins in a row against you, five draws in a row.
Yeah. So you're overdue a defeat, basically.
We are. I mean, everything suggests a draw, but well, that's not going to happen.
Well, I hope not.
The other thing is, we've got an exact head-to-head record. It's exactly the same. 18 wins each and 19 draws.
If I was to say to you, do you think there's too many statistics in the Premier League these days for players and teams?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. So knock it on the head. It's all about 11 blokes against 11.
It is.
Tonight, hopefully, home advantage, our 11 will be better than your 11.
Yeah, you could smell a result, Cody. That's what it's really about.
I really hope so.
Guys sound like you might be quite confident. You've had a good season, and to be honest, we can't score goals. That's our problem. You guys can set pieces alone, if nothing else. So, over to our third West Ham candidate. What's your view? What's your name again?
Troy.
Yeah. What's your view on it, Troy?
Well, going back to that bad record against Brighton, the last time I don't know if you remember the Championship game when we won 6-0 at the Old Boleyn.
Oh, God.
Since then,
I was there.
Yeah, quite a lot of the Brighton fans left. I think it wasn't one of those games that you do. But yeah, things have been really rocking in terms of the atmosphere, and everything's been great. Then along come the international break, two defeats. It's kind of, it's almost starting again. I think we've got to really focus. If we, I don't know, a draw. I think most West Ham fans would think, we'll be hoping for a narrow win, but there's certainly that bit of the bogey side hanging over us. And we've got Europe ahead, and he's trying to juggle our squad and. Without having a huge squad, bringing in the right players, they've done it magnificently so far. But as Terry said, West Ham are always waiting for that. Is this going to be the time? Three losses in a row will certainly, stop all the great momentum and talk. We'll be going back to, game by game, hoping, we get through Europe and try and stay not the top four, then the top six. So see what happens.
It's difficult. It changes so quickly, the table, doesn't it? I think David Moyes, I agree with you. He's done a brilliant job. I know you guys, you were probably sceptical in the first instance, and I was as well. I wondered how it would go. He's done a brilliant job. I do think that we're very hard to beat. We've only lost three games this season. One of those was City. We got the draw at Liverpool. So we've lost to City, Villa and Everton so far. We're not easy to beat, but I do think you might edge this one. It's going to be a tough one to call, isn't it? David Moyes, I think he's done a brilliant job, hasn't he, overall, though?
Oh, yeah, he's great. I like David Moyes. He's fantastic. Yeah. The results speak for themselves. It's an unofficial 2021 league. All the games played in 2021, and we're third. That speaks to the consistency under David Moyes.
Yeah.
He saved us from relegation twice, and he propelled us to the sixth in the league last year, and now we're fourth. How can you argue with that?
Yeah, he's done brilliant. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I think what he's got us playing is proper football. We look like a top four side, to be honest, the way we play the ball around. Yeah. We're very, very reliant on Declan Rice. That's one thing I would say.
Oh, he's been brilliant,
hasn't he? He's a fantastic player. Really cleans things up. But we're solid at the back as well, I think, which makes a big difference to us. And we are a bit too dependent on Antonio as well up front. We could do with another striker. Yeah. That would be a really handy thing.
And would you agree on that, on David Moyes? And also your predictions for your final position?
Okay, yeah. But I remember the times when, you know, when he left the first time. The fans were pretty split. But he's come back, you know, done well, I think. You know, it's a team spirit. I think he's had more of a say. I don't know how it works behind the scenes, but, you know, there's been a lot of criticism from the owners. But he seems to have more of a say in the signings and the... and that seems to have sort of gelled the team. New money's coming to the club. Yeah, we're pretty much... We're limited in one or two positions, and we haven't sort of spent and backed that up. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in January. As far as the, you know, as far as the season goes, yeah, I think we'd love a great Europa League run. If we can finish top six, and a good run in the cups as well. I'm not saying we'll win one, but that'd be a good season.
I reckon you'll definitely finish top six. For me, I've seen you, I've seen the others. United are looking at spent force. I know Ranić may turn it around. Spurs, I know you're delighting me saying this, they're not looking great, are they? Everton are not looking great. Leicester, I don't know what's happened with Leicester. They're struggling. They might come good, but you've got
all of those moments. Maybe. Yeah. Hopefully we haven't used them all up in the first half of the season.
You've got every chance of making ground, basically. Speaking of which, your view as the opposition of the Albion, what's your view on us in terms of how we've done since we've been in the division, and how do you think we're going to do this season?
The results suggest, and is it Graham Potter, your manager?
Yeah,
I mean, he's just reading behind the line, especially in the run to this game, about, yeah, he's highly rated. And I think it's Moyes or Potter, you've got a manager who's got the backing of the team, has got good ideas, you know, and has the fans behind him. I think that's always going to be, you know, as long as the fans go along with a two or three game bad run, and that's going to happen. It's great to see Brighton, having someone from the South Coast up. Top half the table. I think if you finished top half, would you be happy?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd be very happy with that. Southern teams dominating in the Premier League. That's all right. We love that, don't we? We love that. Would you like to see us top half there?
I would like to see Brighton do well. Brighton were a little team. And now they're a big team. They're surviving in the most competitive league in the world. That is a real achievement.
Yeah. It's the way it's been organised and developed over time, to be honest, fellas. That's the way we've managed to do it. So many teams are trying to cheat their way in. QPR, Derby, and you've seen what's happened there with the finances. It's been a long, long haul to get back from where we were to where we are now.
You bridge the gap, the Goldstone grounds, some temporary grounds, and... That's admirable. Could have easily gone the other way all goes wrong and you disappear down the leagues.
But I mean, without being rude,
you seem well set up. You've got a buzzing crowd down in Farmer.
It's great. It's all good. Without being rude, have you guys been to the Goldstone, dare I ask?
Yeah.
You might be old enough for it. I don't know. Maybe not.
My parents used to have a pub just down here. Just down the coast. So, I used to go a bit. They used to Steve Foster, when Jimmy Case was playing there. Dean Saunders. So, I had a few games down
in the coast. Happy days.
Happy days.
And any further words from you, sir? On the Albion?
Just in terms of the Albion, I mean, I think there's a place for Albion in the Premier League. I would see it as mid-table myself, to be honest.
Yeah, that's probably
rather than high top 10. I think Graham Potter's got you playing pretty well. You're fairly solid at the back. You need a better strike force, quite frankly. Neil Maupay is quite exciting to watch, but obviously things like that missing Saturday. You need some consistency with strikers. Yeah. You've got some really good players, Trossard, Bissouma.
He's all right as a squad guy, isn't he, Maupay? But you don't want him as your only outlet, do you? That's the problem, Well, cheers, fellas.
Thank you very much, Russell.
I wish you all the best of luck for the season.
I've never been to the Goldstone ground.
You look too young.
I don't go to away games. My mum won't let me.
He's got his school cap on.
Well, cheers, fellas. Yeah, it's brilliant. Cheers, all mate. The best, all the best. Yeah, let's see what happens. Cheers, cheers. Time 1-0 down. This is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very depressing.
Right, that's a half time summary done.
Yeah, that's it. I'm back to you, Russ, in the studio.
I mean, it was a set piece, it's what they do well, it's what we should be defending well. We're normally better at doing. It's so tedious and irritating to concede that way, isn't it?
It certainly is. Oh, it's I'm just really disappointed for Sarmiento, for him going off.
Yeah, he went off.
He had a bright start
midway through the half
string or something, possibly. Yeah. So that could be him out for a while. So just as he had his,
it's great he got the start, wasn't it? It was good he got the start. Gutted he came off. Yeah.
Looks like Webster. You know, again, he's cropped. So. That's not good.
Have we got the comedy of injuries that I suspected could be the only way we screw up survival? It might be.
No, he said.
I reckon we'll be fine on that score. However,
Who knows?
Unlucky, haven't we? We've had to make two substitutions. We've had two injuries. I'm most gutted about Sarmiento.
Yeah, I know. I have to say. Really sad.
It's been given the start that I've been crying out for. Screw it. Let's put people like that on. Fine, and then he gets bloody injured. I'm gutted, absolutely gutted. But we're 1-0 down at half time. I reckon we're still in with a chance, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had several chances. You know, keep playing that way, we can score. Hey, they had several chances, they could score.
Yeah, I mean, they hit the bar.
It's a 2-1 game, and so who knows which is going to be.
Yeah. Luckily, we've got a load of cartoon characters immediately to our right. It was so funny, aren't they? It's really good to get a load of prepubescent teenagers winding us up about the fact they've scored a goal. It's so delightful. Yeah, it's so good, isn't it?
The West Ham fans.
Yeah.
Right next to us.
The homophobia was good, though, wasn't it? So original. So original. Does your boyfriend know you're there?
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, it's so wonderful. So wonderful.
The majority of them weren't even watching the match for 45 minutes.
No, I mean, we spent about 10 minutes fixed on the game.
Taking him away. Cheerio!
Cheerio! Cheerio! Cheerio, cheerio, cheerio! Cheerio, cheerio, cheerio! Cheerio, cheerio! Presumably that's the dickheads from the first half.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, at least two of them.
So they've led two people away at half-time who were in the area directly to our right, which is directly behind the goal where the first goal was scored, if you want to get your bearings. And, bless them. They're so sweet, aren't they? So caricatured, so cartoonish. You've got to love them, haven't you? Bless their cotton socks. They've got to be home at 10 tonight, though. Well, otherwise, Mummy's going to be upset.
I'm just going to have to get them out of jail now.
I'm going to be home at 10 as well, otherwise. Oh, no. No, I'm going to be in the pub at 10. My mistake. Adults versus children, that sort of thing. Anyway, there we go. So, second half, 2-1 win to us. Yep.
I had no fucking idea, Russ. But yeah, that's possible. West Ham's possible. Anything can happen. Who knows?
Brilliant.
We unwritten drama of sport.
Yeah, anything's possible. I chatted with Dick Knight
in
about half time.
He's in good spirits.
He's my new buddy. We might get him on the podcast soon. Stay tuned for that one. In the meantime, here we go. Second half coming up. Right, 60th minute, here we go. Andy?
Don't hold out much hope. Don't think we're going to create
61st minute. Maybe
great enough opportunities. I think Declan Rice is too good.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player.
Come on,
Trossard is good. He's delightfully good. Terry, come on. Three on one. Now take him on. One on one. Oh.
Yeah!
We just scored an equaliser dunk, haven't we?
We fucking did.
Yes, Jesus.
And it was Morpay as
a
well.
A spectacular goal.
10-man Brighton gets last minute equaliser.
Lallana's gone off injured after our three subs. Doesn't matter.
Morpay's ability to score
what
goals.
What a goal.
Goal of the season.
Brilliant goal.
Oh yeah, they're throwing stuff at us. Right, we're on the attack, one all. What is it, about 3-4 minutes? Into the
time. Like 95
minutes. Morpay scored a spectacular equaliser when we had 10 men, didn't he, Dunk?
Oh God, it's amazing.
Overhead kick.
Oh, wasn't that delicious?
Is top there, corner.
Is there more to come? There might be. No. Handball, probably not. The draw specialists are back! I didn't see that coming, to be honest, I did.
Yeah, of course, never in doubt.
We were on the attack, but I didn't really ever feel we were going to do something. It took something spectacular like that. It was brilliant.
It's the last seven games.
What a brilliant
got
goal.
That beaten out of you, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Brighton, we love you. We love you, Brighton.
Credit to Morpay for having the courage to do the overhead kick, you know.
With his lack of confidence, so-called.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's, what, 2 minutes left here, isn't there? 1 minute, maybe 1 or 2 minutes left. West Ham on the attack. We've got to see this out. Yeah. I'll happily take a draw, for sure. But there's a sense of a winner in the air.
Yeah, 4 minutes, we've got 2 minutes to go.
I'm not sure my ankle could take a winner. Sprained at the Villa game, by the way, if anyone doesn't know.
Yeah, I think some people in Scotland that don't know that yet.
Did I mention my ankle injury?
You may have done,
my
yeah.
Poor crippling injury. West Ham fans are absolute dickheads.
See you later.
That was all right, wasn't it?
See you later. there, mate. I'll see you soon. I'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm there Saturday. Yeah, see you then. Cheers. Draw in the end.
Delightful.
Deserved.
Beautiful.
Deserved.
Beautiful.
Probably the right. I said 1-1, didn't I? I finally got one right.
You said 2-1.
No, I said 1-1. Anyway, I'm all the better for coming from behind to win that, shutting those dickheads up to the right of us, who are an absolute disgrace. Duncan, brilliant. Quick word from you as well, then.
Got him.
That was all right, wasn't it?
It was in the end. That's so sweet. Lovely, absolutely lovely.
They can't feels beat like us, can they? Isn't it brilliant?
It's happy.
They could be good, they could be
here.
Shit, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We'll just always get the win or, more usually, the draw.
Yeah, no, love it.
Six in a row, insane.
It's been, I think I've been to every single one, it's fantastic.
Yeah, same here. Well, apart from the lockdown one, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's brilliant, wasn't it? It was great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Shutting up their mouthy fans is brilliant. Scoring that goal, what a goal.
So sweet. And you see the fans, the way Potter came right up to us.
Yeah.
Right up to the fans, almost into the fans and just cheering.
Exactly. People will probably see this, but Potter made a point of coming over and making a big thing about, yes, get in, boys.
Yeah.
And we were already up for that, celebrating that, making a big thing of it.
No booing.
Song. No booing, funnily enough. Boo! We should have won 2-1. We should have won 2-1. Boo!
Yeah, Potter out.
You're Stato, aren't you?
Yes.
I know you from the old days.
Yeah,
well, sort of. How are you doing?
All right.
We're doing a podcast. I'm recording it. Are you all right to talk on that?
A little bit, yeah.
Just quickly.
It was a good performance, yeah. I thought we deserved the draw.
Yeah.
Great goal by Malpay as well.
We did all right, didn't we? Brilliant.
Superb.
Great to chat to you. Things are looking good, aren't they? I know we keep drawing games,
so,
who cares?
Yeah, we're not losing many though, are we?
Exactly.
You know, so
three games all season, that's not too
bad.
All right,
yeah,
brilliant.
So hopefully we'll beat the Saints.
Yeah, are you going on Saturday?
I'll
be there as well. I might see you there. Cheers. We've got Changing Man, Paul Weller in the background. The perfect music as a backdrop. Talk about post-match, the Albion. 1-1 draw away at West Ham. What a wonderful result. The way it came about, Duncan, are you happy with the draw?
Oh yeah, absolutely ecstatic. Just feels like a win.
amazing. Yeah, wonderful strike. We've just seen it on a...
What a goal. What a goal.
On the mobile. It's just an amazing goal. It's just...
It was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So, really pleased for him.
I couldn't really appreciate the quality at the time. Because you could see there was some kind of articulation in the air, and he made a connection, and then it went out of sight, and then everyone went mad. So obviously it went in, but we didn't really know how good it was until we saw the video later. But, goal.
I think it really shows Mopai or Mopai's.
Mopai.
His confidence. And, you know, if you're not. I just think his mental resilience must be amazing, actually, and that's why Potter played him, because he was actually, you know, slated after the last match for missing those things, and to come back and to have the confidence to do one of those overhead scissor kicks absolutely amazing.
And who else?
Trust him, Potter.
Who else was seen as being out of favour, out of confidence, and scored a scissor kick and erased a Jahan badge?
There you go.
So it shows, even if you're out of confidence, what you could do in a moment.
I was on the Big Red and Dead. I'm on the Big Red and Dead.
The Big Old Street, Big Red or Dead, Old Street Blackberry Sours. Nick, if you're listening, one for you, mate. We're drinking the sours for you.
Hand in hand, in hand, and bright lights.
Celebratory. Here we are in East London. We're in the heartlands of the old West Ham. Oh, lovely, cheers. The West Ham Massive and all that. And here we are, enjoying ourselves. It's been brilliant. We had a little bit of a cheeky pint on a boat. And we've now had a pint in a cool, funky, kind of warehousey brewery place, aren't we? What could be better? What could be better?
No, it's amazing. Sorry, I was drifting off there. No. I thought, it's like I'm in the bath listening to you.
Whenever people talk to me, they often drift off. Yeah. All I could say is, Duncan, there's nothing better than having a chat with you after a reasonable result or a good result. And a few beers, it's sexy. It's sexy stuff.
I want
to
be this. Excellent. Up the Albion. Come on!
Up the Albion.
That's right, we're in the Old Street Brewery, or whatever it's called afterwards. After
that's the
game.
Yeah.
What a quality establishment. It's great, isn't it?
It is very good.
I'm
on
the Blackberry Sours.
You're on the Blackberry Sours. It's very good.
Cheers.
Very good. Cheers.
These guys are on the old, the Big Red and Dead.
Yeah.
And we're all celebrating.
On the old Big Red and Dead.
The fancy shit house. It's more
bed.
Yeah. This is amazing. What's amazing? The beer or the petty shit house or both?
Oh, sorry, you recording?
Oh, yeah.
We're always recording.
We're always We're evil fuckers like
Big
that.
Red and Dead.
Yeah.
Big Red and Dead from the Old Street Brewery.
To celebrate
7.2%.
The petty shit house. Neil Morpé. What a goal. Yeah. A goal.
Yeah.
A guy who's not in confidence, apparently, scores that goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing, amazing.
What of course, you see, he came up when he celebrated.
Yeah.
Came up to us. That guy's full of confidence.
And can I say that the interaction between Potter and the away fans was sublime today.
Yeah,
it was.
There was a real point being made on both sides.
Yes, indeed. There definitely was a point being made from both sides.
Yeah.
Because Potter always does normally come over, but he certainly extended that today.
Yeah, he came right up to us.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I think that was certainly a point, as you say, being made on both sides.
Yeah.
And of course, a point apiece as a result.
Yeah.
There we go.
And a point well received, by the way, by the fans.
There we go. How many more point jokes can we make?
I don't know, but I'm having a few points. We've got 1 point tonight, but I've had quite a few points.
Well deserved point.
Cheers, everyone.
I think you've been making this point too much, to be honest. So.
I like to make this point. But it's been a great night. We've had a good few drinks. We've been on a boat. We've been in a couple of funky local breweries. Yeah. We've watched our team come back from 1-0 down. with a load of mouthy
could have been tickets. Could have been 2-0 down.
Could have been 2-0.
From what I saw, I don't know about the VAR review. What I've read is that, you know, Brighton fans are saying it was the correct decision. I need to watch it back again. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was disallowed as a goal. Yeah. We were also lucky because they came off the bar as well. Yeah. Off the crossbar. So, you know.
They're a good team. We could easily have lost.
Yeah, the
Sanchez.
Okay.
El Pantera.
El Pantera. El Pantera.
If it hasn't already been received, it now is.
Yeah.
Alisson.
Is that actually his nickname or just your nickname for him?
It's my nickname for him.
Oh, your nickname for him.
Yeah, I took it up.
Okay.
But apparently some Spanish journalist has said the same
thing. Oh, really?
Yeah.
El Pantera. You gotta roll those R's, that's the one.
I've gotta say, you're rolling your R's very nicely.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
What are you doing later?
Well, drinking here probably, yeah.
Alisson, quick word from you as well. That was great, wasn't it? Brilliant finish. Great day.
I always love a draw that feels like a win, and tonight's definitely one of those occasions.
Because you've still got wins in hand, so that's the best bit about that.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a tremendous result. Hopefully it shuts the Boo Boys up.
I don't think there are any of the Boo Boys for them.
To be honest, I don't think many of them.
We've seen the Graham Potter song quite a few times. Yeah. There you go, Graham Potter's Blue Army, Boo! Graham Potter's Blue Army, Boo! By the way, what a tune this is. Ocean Colour, Sea Wave.
That is true, yeah. But no, honestly,
Can we sing along? Are we going to sing along to this?
I'm all right.
Let's do it. Here we go. Say the rail and go across the train. And on that note, I think we should finish. Perfect.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.